We are in Shar Avodah Kim, Perek Hey. And the Lev Tov edition, in my Lev Tov edition, it is page Reish. We'll call it the beginning of Perek Hey, even though we're not really going to be reading much inside today. We're kind of going to glide through it. But it's Shar Avodah Kim, Perek Hey. My Lev Tov edition, it's page Reish Lamed Aleph. Just for protocol's sake, let's get the English page too. Now again, we're not really going to be that much
288 in the fell time. 288.
288. Thank you. 288 in the fell time. Okay. Just before we begin this chapter, I want to start with a general question. Why is this chapter called Shara Voidasa Likim? Avodah Zarah Kim is really the term we used in a very general way for service of Hashem in general. Isn't the whole Sefer exactly that? So I have to understand what he's trying to do in this chapter. And let's again go back to what we've mentioned a number of times. So what Chavos HaLevavos is trying to do here, the whole Sefer is a structure, a buildup. He didn't give us a sequence of chapters. Just, you know, there were 20 subjects to discuss, actually 10 in the Sefer, 10 subjects to discuss. So he lined them up one after the other in whatever order worked. This is a lot of build-up. There's a build-up where one thing is meant to lead to the other. We mentioned this a few times. We won't go through it in detail now, but just briefly, he started with Yichud Elokim, which basically, we'll call that determining the truth of Hashem, if we'll talk in contemporary terms. The Metuchah Bechina, Bechina was, call it two stages. After you've determined the truth of Hashem and the oneness of Hashem, go from there to starting to sense. That's what Bechina is, learning to sense Hashem by looking around you and growing conscious of where you can sense Him. You start seeing Hashem operating in the world around you. And then stage two of that, which is really bringing it home, is from there to really start sensing Hashem in your life, to really start sensing all the chesed of Hashem that you're living with, that you may have been oblivious to up till now. Bring that. From there we go to Shara Avodah Zarah. And this is the understanding here. He's not just talking about Avodah Hashem in general. What he means to say is that when a person really senses, really internalizes chesed that he's living with and is really starting to see Hashem around him wherever he looks, and this can be on very many different degrees, he starts to really gain a certain sense of embeddedness. He starts to feel like he owes. I owe after the breakfast that I ate. I owe for the fact that my heart is beating once you really start understanding what that means. I owe for the fact that I have a functioning body, for the fact that I have a family, for the fact that so many different areas of life are operating correctly. We're having a request here to mute. Yes, if everybody would please mute just to make sure that we don't have disrupting background noise. Yashar Koyach. So that sense of indebtedness should bring you to a place, this is in the Chavos HaLevavos' mind, of dedicating your life to Hashem's service, of becoming a committed soldier of Hashem, a soldier as in someone who is on duty all the time, who puts himself at Hashem's disposal. Now let's understand this properly. You can have a frum Jew who does not make this grade. You can have a frum Jew who understands that he has to do the mitzvahs, has to do what he has to do, must avoid averus, because you don't want to go to Gehenna afterwards. Just, you know, you were raised this way and you understand that it's right. But that isn't your life's agenda. That isn't what you live for. I live my life, and along the way, there are things that must be done. And the truth is, there's a lot of things that must be done, and therefore it starts characterizing life in a big way. But if you ask me what I'm living for, my agenda in life is not my relationship with Hashem. My agenda in life is not my service of Hashem. My agenda in life is my life. And along with that, I fit in. Sometimes more conscientiously, sometimes less conscientiously. Whatever the case is, I work it into my life. I work the Avodas Hashem into my life. He's trying here to bring us to a different place. He wants to bring us to a place where this is what my life is about. You want to know, how do I define myself? What does it say on my business card? A servant of Hashem. That's who I am. That's how I identify myself. And this is what he's doing in this chapter. He's trying to help us transition into that different mode of life. And therefore, right, we had the whole previous chapter explaining how we want to get ourselves used to the understanding that our service of Hashem encompasses all of life, even our mundane activities, right? To understand that you should be conscious, even when you're involved in just regular plain life, so to speak, that these can be very, very important areas of service of Hashem if they're approached right. So now he wants to take this to the next level in this chapter. Now, you know, I want to add to that a little bit, just in terms of including the idea of the last chapter. And that is, I'll tell a story. We've told this in the past. You may have heard it, but it's worth repeating. Sharon Shvatron, the famous Maggid of Yerushalayim, he was a Talmud. He was a student of Rabbi Isaac Sher, Shashiva of Slabodka. And he was one time, some of his children were sick, and he was walking with a couple of his kids to take them to the doctor. And he met his Rebbe, Rabbi Isaac Sher, on the way. So Rabbi Isaac Sher asked him, where are you going? So he said, I'm taking my kids to the doctor. So he said, why? He said, well, because they're not feeling well. And so why do you need to take them to the doctor? He said, well, you know, they're sick. They're not feeling well. I have to take them to the doctor. And why you? I said, well, I'm their father. He was a little bit confused at this strange back and forth. Until finally, Rabbi Isaac Sher saw that he wasn't getting it. He said to him, I understand. It's true. Mother cows take care of their calves, and mother horses take care of their foals, and you're taking care of your children. And he walked away. Now, this is Slabodka style. Slabodka style is to get across a point without saying it explicitly. The Slabodka style was to throw out a riddle, to say something strange, leave it hanging, and then leave it to the Talmud to try to figure out your intent. Let him stew in it for a couple of days. So that's how I left him, Shalom Shvadron. Rav Shalom Shvadron met him a couple of days later, and he said to him, I think I understood what you wanted me to answer. You wanted me to answer that I am caring for Hashem's children as his representative toward them. In other words, I'm not just reactively dealing with certain realities of life that, now what can I do? Of course I have to do this. If that's the way you're going about it, then everybody operates that way, including animals. You know, the baby is sick, the mother takes care of it. You want to move these natural activities with all of their inherent value, you want to move them into the more sublime place of service of Hashem. This is all in context of your service of Hashem, all in context of your life with Hashem. And I want to take this a step further because this itself sounds cold. One minute. When I'm caring for my children, it shouldn't be with the natural warm feelings of a parent toward a child. It should be, no, this is not about my natural feelings for my children. Let me step away from that. I'm caring for Hashem's children. That can seem to take away some of the warmth and meaning of it. But let's understand this further. This is very appropriate for last week's parasha, right? Let's remember, last week's parasha, Hashem says a very, very profound pasuk that is like the motto for anybody raising a Jewish family. Hashem says about Avraham Avinu, right? He's about to destroy Sodom. He says, I have to fill Avraham Avinu in on what's going on. And he says, Ki idati leman asher itzavez banavez b'nei acha b'shamu derech Hashem ha'asiz. To translate that literally, he says, I know Avraham because he is going to instruct his family afterwards to follow in the pathways of Hashem. What does that mean? I know him because of that. So the Mefarshim say, no, here means a lot more than just being aware. No, here is where the term Deya, Yediya, can just mean knowledge in a very general theoretical way, academic. Deya can also mean intimate knowledge, familiarity, closeness, being very, very close with somebody. It says, I'm connected with him. I have a close relationship with him. Why? Because he will be raising his children to follow in my path. In other words, what does that mean? What that means is as follows. This is what we should appreciate. By entrusting a Jewish family in your hands, by putting the care of Jewish children into your hands, what Hashem is doing is he's partnering with you. He says, these are my children. I care for them immensely. Whatever love a parent feels for his child is a drop in the bucket for the love that Hashem has for a Jew. And you know what? I want to join you with me in this business. You're going to become a partner of mine, a junior partner, but a partner with a very significant role. And no, don't think that you're doing everything. You're taking care of the food, and you're taking care of the sleeping, you're taking care of the financial support. Hashem is dealing with the heart beating. Hashem is dealing with the brain operating. Hashem is very busy. But whatever the case is, Hashem is saying, you're going to be with me in this. In other words, not just partnering and caring for them, but also partnering and loving them. I'm going to move you into this relationship. This bond is going to be really a four-way bond. There's the child, there's me, there's the father, and there's the mother. That's how Hashem says it, right? Shloisha shutfim ba'adam. A child's care is shared by three parties: Hashem, the father, and the mother. And in this sense, we are operating, we're doing something very, very sublime. We are partnering with Hashem in this business of caring for his children to the extent that they're actually made our children. That's how much Hashem brings us into his business. They're actually made our children. We are given a piece of Hashem's relationship with them. And in that sense, we're parents. We're parents. But we want to approach it that way. We want to approach it with this sublime understanding, rather than just, well, it's a natural thing to do. And the truth is, pretty much every Jew who gets married, every conscientious Jew with the right mindset who gets married is really doing that, even if it's not mamish on the conscious level. Married, we strive to have large families. It's all for that reason. But the more we can imbue our day-to-day with that, the more we're raising it. Now, this is true across the board. This is just one example of things that we might view as mundane activities. But again, we've discussed this plenty over the last few weeks. It bears continued elaboration. But this is the point. We want to bring all of our life. We spoke about eating. We spoke about business. We spoke about caring for our families. This isn't the mundane realm of our life, but this is all a part of our lives as dedicated, committed Oyvdei Hashem. Oyvdei Hashem, operating with Hashem as his servants, as his family, as part of his close circle. Now, in the next chapter, in Perek, Perez Havavas is going to go on to help us further with that transition. How do we go from living a life that's basically self-centered for my own agenda, just living because like anybody else is born, you're here, you live, to living a life that's defined as a servant of Hashem, a soldier of Hashem, at his disposal. This is what my life is about. So now, he begins a dialogue in the coming chapter. So we'll begin reading it inside, and then pretty soon we're going to say for again. Roi lano ata leva'er ofnei ha'ora ha'sichlis. You remember, this all came about when a person is inspired, is self-motivated to move to the next level. Not just serving Hashem because that's how he's raised, because he understands that that's what he has to do, because otherwise he'll be punished and he wants reward, but a level of being self-motivated. We have another request coming in about if anybody has been unmuted, to please mute. Now, he says, "Roi lonu levar ato." Let's now elaborate. Let's continue with this process of questions being asked here. How does a person who phoned in mute? You know what? I don't know. We're going to have to check out these technicalities and either email them out in a public way afterwards. Okay, this is part of bearing with it. It'll take a week or two to get it all figured out. Okay. So he says we're going to begin a dialogue to continue introducing this concept, this transition of moving from a person who basically lives his life and also does mitzvahs to a person whose essence is a loyal servant of Hashem, one of his circle. We can do that in the form of a dialogue. Because this will help fully develop our subject. And it's going to have this as a dialogue between the person, he calls it the nefesh and the seichel. The person himself is consulting with who? Consulting with his intellect. You can also call it consulting with your heart. How do I take this further? How do I take this higher? How do I grow to bring myself to the next level in Hashem's service? Now, I am going to skip a little bit because he kind of brings us back abreast of everything we've learned up till now in the Sefer. And I just did that in the short recap that we gave before. So we'll move on. I'm noting this chat, saying I should have the ability to mute everybody. Okay, that's another thing I'll have to figure out, Bezos Hashem. We'll note the issues as they come up and try to deal with them as they go along. I said a week or two. In my case, it might take longer than that, but let's see. Okay, we're gonna make a note of that, how to figure out how to mute everybody without them having to do it manually. Mitzvah Hashem. Okay. So now, it's going to be the person is consulting with himself, so to speak. Consulting with himself, consulting with his seicha, asking, how do I get this further? How do I take this higher? And by the way, I want to note that this is not just an interesting way of going about it, an interesting methodology, as the Chavis Halbavis assumes. There's actually a chashav ha'etzah here, a very important piece of advice here. And that is, when you're looking for instruction, when you're looking for direction, it's very important to have people in your life that you can consult with. It's very important to have a rav. But you know what? There's another address that you should also utilize. And that is yourself. You should also utilize yourself. When you're wondering about something, when you're trying to deal with a challenge, you're trying to inspire yourself, figure out how to get past a certain thing. Realize that by sitting down and thinking about it, contemplating, letting it ruminate in your own mind, you may be surprised at the things that you yourself will come up with. Sometimes we don't give ourselves enough credit. We face a challenge. We hit a certain dead end. We don't know how to deal with it. We fret. We're stuck. We try to look for advice. Read here. Ask somebody there. And you should do that. But to realize also that, give it thought. Give it thought with the mindset of, I might be able to come up with an idea here. I might be able to have insight here. You'd be surprised if you come up. It was one of the non-Jewish philosophers said that there are very few problems that can withstand the assault of sustained thought. Meaning, if you really assault the problem with thought, you may be surprised at the solutions you'll come up with. Very often when we talk about thinking about a problem, it's really just focusing on what a problem it is without really being solution-oriented. But here, the Chavis Halbavis is actually demonstrating that how a person should be able to move himself ahead in Ruchnius by consulting with himself and giving things due thought. But again, this is something to add to Shiurim, Sfarim, having a Rav, etc. But this is how he's going to do it. So he's going to start with this. I'm going to start, and I'm going to be jumping around here a little bit because I want to get This is without actually going through. So Vayomer LaNefesh, if you look, it's probably the beginning of a paragraph. Vayomer LaNefesh. The Seichel, a person, or I'll translate it like this. The person says to himself, have you really reached the realization that you are completely encumbered by all the good that Hashem is bestowing on you? And you are completely committed to him because of the immensity, both in quantity and in quality, of everything that he's doing for you. And again, you can't start the sefer here. You can't begin this whole discussion by saying, oh, okay, good morning. We're going to introduce ourselves now to the subject of serving Hashem. Do you realize that you're drowning in Hashem's chasadim? Most of us don't. This comes after the exercises of Shaar HaBchina that we've been learning, right? Of really learning to sense all the things that we've taken for granted throughout our life and to understand how we are mamish drowning in Hashem's chasadim 24/7. And when we really internalize that, we should be saying to ourselves, well, do you realize that? But and the nefesh answers, I mean, the person answers himself honestly and says, King, I've come to that realization. Hey, so Amar lo haSeichel. So then the Seichel says, "Ha'im da'atech lifroya k'tzas mima sha'at chayeves laboyrei? Do you intend to try to reciprocate, or do you intend to spend your whole life just as a taker, receiving, 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 with never a thought of the one who's bestowing it?" Amar nefesh, and the person answers, "Okay, yes, I do want to reciprocate." So the Seichel then says, how can you do that? How will you ever be able to really move on to the track of reciprocating Hashem if you aren't really wholehearted about it? If your desire to do so is weak. There might be tough parts to this process. Now, let's say I have a person who's chas v'shalom ill. The medicine is very disgusting. The only person who will really be able to take that medicine is a person who really has a vision. The person is just living here and now and says, doctor is telling me I should start taking this medicine. Very, very tough to take. It's bitter. It's disgusting. It messes up life. But if a person has a very, very strong vision of what I'm feeling, what it means to be living back on my feet, living life as a healthy person, and he really, really wants to get there, he'll tolerate the difficulty of the medicine. So the Chavis HaVavis is telling us that you have to realize that in order to get to this place, you have to break through certain difficulties, and then you'll be able to get there. I'm skipping again a bit. He says there are certain things that are holding us back from really moving onto the track of dedicated, intense, ongoing dedication, service of Hashem. So Amar HaNefesh, so the Nefesh answers, says, I'm skipping a bit. What is it? What are the midas? What are the midas? What are the character traits? What are the faculties that I have that are holding me back? So Amar HaSeichel. So the Seichel says, Amidas HaMagunai Shabach Rabbi. He's being very blunt here. It says, oh, don't worry, you have plenty of negative character traits. But there are mainly two of them. Now here, the Chavis HaVavis is going to tell us that you can't just jump onto a track of growth without realizing that there are certain things in the way that you have to move out of the way. What are they? So achas mehen, one is, now, This is, again, one of those areas where we are going to be disparaging physical pleasures. And we have to open ourselves up to it, but at the same time, take it in the proper perspective. We've already discussed this plenty. Please, if you start hearing this, you have to wait until the end. You can't just hear that he's blasting physical pleasures and say, okay, this is for me. You also can't hear it and say, all right, you know, nothing tasty for lunch today. This has to be properly understood. Let's see. If you've been with us from the beginning, you should already have something of a handle on this. Abbas ha'nois ha'gufios, being in love with physical pleasure, bin amacho v'amishte, whether it's food and drink, v'amishgal, whether it's marital realms, ush'ar tzolkei gufe, or other physical issues, and this you have gotten from your neighbor, and that is your body. He's making a point here. You aren't your body. You aren't your body. You are your neshama. Appendage. The way he says it later in the sefer is the body is an office that you operate in to do your job in this world. But that's not who you are. Now, you have to be careful because your body has certain tendencies. And if it's left unchecked, it'll pull the neshama down. You want to keep a situation where the neshama is holding on to the body, not that the body reins in the neshama and harnesses it into its own service. I told the story. It's really relevant to the next piece that the Chavis Havavis brings, but we'll bring it in here already, just to make the point. I believe Yitzchak of Berdichev was the chazan for the Yomim Noraim. And it was Yom Kippur evening, Kol Nidre, and they're about to start davening. And I believe Yitzchak is standing at the Amud under his talis, and he's silent. Everybody's waiting for him to begin. And he's taking his time. He's moving, he's shuckling, but he's not starting. Okay, to an extent this is normal, but then it's taking a while. And it seems that there's something very intense going on there under that talus. Until finally, they heard him say, he kind of took the talus, threw it off onto the Amud and said, if you're such a tzaddik and you're also an amud, and you're also an anav, then you daven for the amud. This was very strange. So afterwards he explained, I don't know exactly what happened, maybe he took some time and then he went back to the amud, whatever it is. Afterwards they came over and they asked, what was that all about? Kind of seemed like he was having an argument with somebody, and then he kind of said to the other person, you just daven for the amud. So they asked him, what was that about? So he said, I'm standing on the talus, I'm ready to start Kol Nidre, and all of a sudden, the Yitzhara came over to me and said, ah, Levi Yitzchak, what a big tzaddik, what a big tzaddik. Look at this, such a big kehillah, and you're the one who's going to be davening for the Amud. You're the one who's chosen. Isn't that special? What a special person he must be. I got a little alarmed. I'm having these thoughts of Gaiva as I'm about to start Yom Kippur davening. I said to him, I said, quiet, Bal Gaiva. Don't inject me with these thoughts of Gaiva. So the Yitzhara responded to me and said, oh, wow, you're right. It's terrible to be a Balgaiva. Look, on top of it all, you're also such an anav. Isn't that amazing? Look how beautiful. Besides being the tzaddik I just described, you're also such an anav. So Rabbi Yitzchak said, oh, here I saw that he's getting me from all directions. So I finally told him, you know what? If you're such a tzaddik and you're also such an anav, then you daven for the Amud. What do you need me to? And that was why I stepped away. Making a point here, this is a cute story, and it's often told as a cute story, but it actually contains a deep truth. And that is, we want to start learning to relate to what's going on inside us, not as necessarily us, not necessarily me. There could be things that I'm sensing. Later, the Chavis Halvavis says, he gives a very vivid description of the Yetzer Hara. Rabbi Yochanan of Ovid said that nobody knew the Yetzer Hara as well as the Yetzer Hara himself and the Chavis Alvavus. He was a very, very vivid description of the Yetzer Hara. But what he describes is something very profound. He says, you have a foreign entity that moves into your, think of it as your body, kind of like a tumor, that makes it into your body and starts getting involved in all the systems in a hostile kind of way. But it's inside the body. It seems as though this is what happens to a person's consciousness. Something foreign, actually an enemy, a hostile force, gets mixed in, starts operating the person's consciousness, and creates the impression that it's the person himself. You think it's you. It isn't really you. It's someone who's out to get you. And, for example, makes you stop feeling like, ooh, this person just really offended me. I better let them have it. Nobody can get away with that. Everybody has to know that you can't get away with offending me. And to realize, you know what? That feeling is actually not even you. It's actually not even you. You are something higher. You are a neshama. You're a neshama who prefers not to accentuate the ego. You're a neshama who prefers to feel that as long as it's only about Hashem, as long as it's not about Hashem, me, I'm a non-entity. But there's that foreign force in there that's saying, forget Hashem right now. There's you. There's the great number one. Right? And woe is the person who dares insult that you. I have to say, wait a minute, that's not me, and I don't want that. I don't want that. That's you. That's you, the Yetzer Hara, inside me. And to learn to actually communicate with that other being inside you. Tell you about the story of the Chofetz Chaim. This is a good one. The Chofetz Chaim once told his Talmidim. The Chofetz Chaim writes in his, in Mishneh Berurah, he says that a person has to rise energetically in the morning to start a day of Hashem service. Get up early. Get up early. I'm not going to get into halachic angles of this. It's a little bit unpleasant when you read the first Sif in Shulchan Aruch and says that really the halacha is that a person should be up before daylight. The way the Shulchan Aruch says it is, you should be arousing daylight. You should be awakening the day rather than the day awakening you. But okay, that might anyways not be relevant to today's reality. Whatever the case is, the idea, we get it. Whatever the time is that you know that you need to be up, davening, beginning of your day, whatever it is, there's always the pull to just stay put, to just stay in bed, right? So the Chofetz Chaim writes in his Mishneh Berurah, he says, in the winter time, don't let the Yetzer Hara tell you it's so cold outside, you need to stay under your warm blanket. And in the summertime, don't let the Yetzer Hara tell you the night was so short, you need extra sleep. The Chofetz Chaim once told his Talmidim, you know, I had a real give and take today with the Yetzer Hara. I woke up in the morning, I'm lying in bed, and the Yetzer Hara tells me, Yisrael Meir, you're an old man already, enough. Baruch Hashem, for 80 years you've been serving Hashem so energetically, now you can relax a little bit, stay in bed, you can use your sleep, don't get up as per your usual schedule. Chofetz Chaim said, so I said to the Yetzer Hara, listen, you're older than me, but you're already up and on the job bright and early, so why shouldn't I get up too? So this is all that same idea. Learning to relate to the Yetzer Hara, which initially we feel as ourselves. My ego, I think is me, or other lures, other urges that I think are me, but actually is someone else inside me pushing in the wrong direction. And to learn to relate to that and talk to that person, it actually helps. You actually verbally say it. Don't start with that. Don't try to trick me into that. Don't make me think that's what I want. I know your tricks. It's actually something that helps. So here, he says, you have a neighbor who can be a bad influence on you, and that's your body. The body should be a humble servant of the real you. You put your body to work and you give it treats. You have to give the body treats in order to keep it functioning comfortably. But don't let the tables be reversed. Don't let a creation, don't let a situation be created where the body takes control and starts telling you what to do. So I knew somebody who talked he told me that after I hear that story, the Chafetz Chaim, it very, very much spoke to him. There's a person who had struggles getting up in the morning. He said that many times he would wake up in the morning and he'd kick off his covers with a cry of, "Ain't no one going to tell me what to do." And he'd kick off his covers that way. So now, what he says is, when your body becomes too spoiled, starts getting its way too much, and with the various areas of physicality, that will become an impediment, that will become an obstacle to really dedicating your life to Hashem. Now, again, we're stressing, he does not mean cut out all physical pleasures. We've been through this plenty, we'll go through it again. What he means is don't let it control you. If your body has taken control of the neshama and it dictates, it's the one that dictates your day, because the physical urges come first, then that will be an obstacle to getting ahead. That's number one. Ramida Hashenis. And trait number two is Avas Hasrora Vahagdula Vageus Vagavus Vakino. This is already a bit of a higher level of Yetzer Hara. It's the ego level. Before, we were talking about the very bodily level, the real physical aspect, eating, drinking, other physical, very physical pleasures. Physical as in body, not emotion, not ego. But now we're moving to the next level, the ego level of it. Avas hasrara vagdula vageus vagavus vakino. Ego, feeling like I have to be at the top, that my pride is something sacred. And being envious of the people around me in terms of status, in terms of social standing. This is another major impediment. Ego is another major impediment that will get in the way, and that we have to tame in order to really be able to move ahead as dedicated servants of Hashem. And this causes you to compromise in your true dedication to reciprocating, to a life of reciprocating Hashem. Now, skipping a little bit, Amar HaNefesh. So what are the things that I have to overcome in order to taka move the hold of the body or the hold of my ego? It's spreading to these two categories. There's the hold of the physical on me, and then there's the hold of my ego on me. How much do my physical desires, do my physical urges control my life? And how much does my ego control my life? And to get used to the understanding that I have to disentangle my own sense of self from these things. There's me, the me who's above these things, the me who's connected with Hashem and wants only closeness with Him. And then there are these other germs, bacteria operating in my body that make me think, that are pushing the physical agenda on me and make me think that that's what I want. And the ego that's pushing itself on me and making me think that that's me. What do I have to do to start taming these things, getting them under my control, and not letting them control me? So Amar HaSeichel. So the Seichel answers, Heiches Hamidah Rishayna. Parts of your life that are reinforcing the physical, the hold of the physical, are Maisrei Hamachol, eating too much, Vamishteh, drinking too much, meaning that food controls you. Food dictates when I eat. I don't dictate when I eat. Food dictates when I eat. If I walk into the room and there's the right type of food on the table, I might have thought I was going that way. But I find myself going that way because the food is over there. Valevush, when my interest in my clothing takes too much control of me. Batnuma v'amenucha v'ashalva v'adayim alehem. And also, if relaxation takes too much of a hold of me, if I'm opposed to exertion, if I'm opposed to working hard, if I'm opposed to bothering, you know, when I'm sitting down, I don't like to be bounced out of bed. This is certainly something that is going to get in the way. You have to be ready to get up and go, whatever the case is. Kind of like these elite commandos, right, that are trained. You know, they can be kept up for 36 hours straight. Then they'll go to sleep. They'll be told to go to sleep with their boots on. Because even when they're going to sleep after 36 hours straight of being up, they have to be ready to jump up at a moment's call. Go to sleep with their boots on. And part of the training might be that wait just long enough for them to really fall asleep. And then an hour later, boom, bounce them out of bed again. So if a person isn't capable of this, now, okay, this is of course the extreme. But when a person is too much under the control of the pull of gravity, it's too hard to get myself moving. I don't like to be moved. I like to stay in my place. That is definitely, again, going to be an impediment. Heavy kal kanesha. You have to be light as, well, the truth is we translate that as an eagle. Probably an esher is not an eagle, more likely to be a type of condor, a certain vulture. I'm sorry if that disappoints you, but they can actually be quite regal if you see them. But this is a very, very big, heavy bird. It's a very big, heavy bird. We say Kal Kanesher, be light as a Nesher. The Nesher is a big, heavy bird. Well, what's light about it? What we mean is it takes all that weight and it simply lifts itself up the ground, up off the ground and soars. Yes, sure, there's weight here. There's the pull of gravity. But I'm capable of just bouncing myself up, bothering, getting to work, even when I'm not in the mood. These are necessary. It's necessary to overcome these things in order to really get yourself on a track of dedicated service of Hashem. Okay? We are in middle, still going to elaborate on what we're talking about here. We'll save this for next week in Mitzvah Hashem. We'll end here.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. Anybody else have a technological about the muting, etc., you can send me an email. In any event, I'll try to speak to the people, to the technical people.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
There were people who did manage to mute phone calls, so maybe they could share their advice.
Oh, so if anybody, Taka, knows how to do that and can email.
It's the right button on top of the phone.